Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord for more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Welcome again to another exciting day in the Lord. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome, my sisters and brothers, amen, saints and friends, to another exciting training day. Amen. It's an honor to be here again. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God, Jehovah the Father. Amen. The blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. All the pastors, saints, and friends. Amen. Pastor O, my producer, and his lovely wife, and Running for Christ Ministries, and my friends and family at Word of Faith. Amen. Great Faith Christian Center, amen, Renaissance Christian Center, hallelujah, I say praise the Lord, amen, and some of the new folks that I met in Texas, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. It's just an honor, man, it is an honor. I'm telling you, you want to know how blessed you are, you got to take time to talk to people that don't know Jesus, and you'll be amazed at this day and age at what they don't know and what they believe. But it also will let you know how much we are needed in prayer. Amen. You know, I have a book out in, amen, for those that don't know, it's called The Millennial Guide to Christianity Without Religion. And there's a section in there on the royal priesthood, which is the entire body of Christ. They can't be reached without us. And I mean, it is critical. I'm learning more. I do Uber. Well, I used to, but now the gas $5 a gallon. It ain't profitable. I'll go if the Lord tell me. But amen. But let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do thank you. We do thank you. We do thank you, Lord, for this honor and this privilege that you paid for with the blood of your first begotten son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for being obedient unto the cross. Amen. That it took the death, your burial and resurrection to redeem us. Amen. We thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit, and we thank you, Holy Ghost, for being our guide, our comforter, our friend, our teacher, our protector. And we just thank you for it right now. And Father, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom for revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you have made available to them that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. We ask that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, there's a Facebook page, Christians versus Atheists, and I spent a lot of time on there, amen. But it lets me see two sides. Occasionally I run into what I call a religious Christian. You know, they got a lot of head knowledge, they got a lot of scripture memory, but you know, they're more interested in how comparing. They almost, it's sad that they as indifferent as the atheists. You know, they want to debate useless doctrines that have nothing to do with the flow of the power of God. And then when the question come up, did you ask God about this? You know, if I can't say I asked God about it, then that's my own mind. And I can't give it. It to me has no authenticity. Because the point of life is for us to learn how to consistently be in submission to God. And that is why we're talking about the mystery of why God let Satan exist, 2.0. You know, when I first started doing the video portion, some of the earlier message I did was why God let Satan exist. You know, and that's a question that I see frequently. And I'm not surprised, because you figure the way God is described, all-powerful, okay, all-knowing, and omnipresent, why isn't this heaven on earth? Well, it's the nature of our being that we don't understand. I mean, look at this situation. It's not just them. It's just such a 70, 80% of the world, minus the children, don't believe God according to his word. And even I would go so far to say 80% of the Christians don't believe God according to his word. That goes to the point of how many don't read it. How is it even, you can't even get to do, know God's will if you don't read it. His word is his will. You know, some of our brothers and sisters have been taught to pray if it be your will. Well, listen, it's, the word says all the promises of God are yes and amen. So before you even ask God, you need to search out, and these days you can Google it, search out a promise based on the word of God. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't go by your feelings. Just go by what you said and what God believed. In Romans chapter 10, he said, if you say with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. That brings you into the family. That creates a covenant between you and God. When Jesus, when you see, that's not a cliche, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That actually occurs. See, because you don't feel nothing. That ain't what it's about. This is faith. Just believe God at his word. Trust me. You develop that relationship. You don't want to even feel. Yes, you do. But you don't want that the foundation of what you believe. God said it. Because God is going to grow you. And people think it's testing when God grow them. No, he's stretching you out. That's what the pain is about. And the more you resist, the more pain you'll feel, I tell you that. You know, it's like stretching. The more you stretch, the less pain you feel when you stretch. Okay, so we're talking about the mystery of why God lets Satan exist and his role in our development. Because you have to acknowledge the reality that man is a spirit. That you see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God, amen, stood up, made up some clay, and breathed, released, separated, and created the spirit of man. And from that point all the way up to Jesus, you have what I call first gen man without the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, and it's a process because God wanted to document the history. He knew it would be needed for each generation, and you know there was a cutoff point for the documentation. Amen. It's called the Book of Revelation. All right, and you get to see throughout the Bible the different impacts of, you begin to see two psychologies, God's psychology and Satan's psychology. And you have to know both of them so you'll know which one you are following. Okay, and that's what's in the Bible. You will see the difference, some characteristics. We're going to look at that. But like I say, so God made Adam, and he made the spirit of man, and that became, that's the person that all of us can't come here as, with the spirit of man. And then later on, at the point of life, some early, some later, you request Christ in your life. And at that point, you become second gen man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. I've been told that that actually means that you're a brand new creature, never existed before, which is true. Angels are not like us. They don't have a spirit of man, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're angels. That's what they are. We're a different creature. And God made us because he wanted, just like, you know, people want their own children. They like having their own image. They like seeing their own generations. I have three generations now, probably I have four in a couple of years if Jesus don't come back. That's how God is. Every emotion you have, God had them first. He didn't, you know, I had that problem. I ain't going to say problem. I lacked the revelation that God, being God, had emotion till I saw it in his word. See, and the thing about this, I'm telling you, saints, you are blessed because every day now I'm talking to people that just cut off, even have a clue. I have to watch my vernacular when I'm talking to them, because they get offended. Everybody gets so offended now, you know. But you know, no matter how much I offend you, if you don't get right, you're still going to hell. But the man, I heard somebody say, I'd rather offend you to heaven than bless you to hell. So it don't matter. All right. So let's dig a little bit. Last time, we talked about man. And I introduced you to three new words that gave me 9 points on my own personal etymology scale called cognition, which is recognized, which is an intelligent being. Unlike God, who is omniscient, who has unlimited intelligence, we come by nature with design with limited intelligence, and that's to keep us from getting in trouble. And you can see throughout the world how that is. I mean, we got wars going on. Rather than make peace, they make war. Why not? I mean, here we are in the 21st century, and we're still doing the same dumb thing they did in the first century, or back beyond that, actually, in the BC era. Still want to conquer somebody. You can't conquer a person. You can take their territory. You can harass them. You can aggravate them, but you can't conquer them. And one of the things I noticed in reading when I first time read the Old Testament, I learned something real quick. God leads people. They choose to follow him. He don't force nothing, okay? Even us coming here, we came here because our parents willed us here. It happened. That's the way it is. But once you're here, everything applies from that point on, you know? I once told God, I didn't ask to come. He said, you're here now, deal with it. So I deal with it. The good part is I get to go to heaven. Jesus paid for that. Amen. All right. So we want to identify some characteristics about Satan. We started out last week in Isaiah chapter 14. Let's go back and review that. Okay, and this time, well, still the NIV version here, Isaiah chapter 14, and this is Satan. We don't need to know the Bible history. All right, it says, how have you fallen from heaven? That's really dumb. O morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned in the mount of the assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. Okay, and then it gets nasty after that. He gets brought down. Anyway. All right. The point here is one of the characteristics about Satan is he self-centered. And if you notice, the opposite of that is God is God of love. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, you'll find that it's the opposite of that self-centeredness is a really extreme care about others. Case in point, it's no doubt that the leader of Russia who is attacking Ukraine does not love them. You don't send missiles and try to bomb somebody that you love. Just like a man that loves his wife won't beat her. He should be prosecuted and some other stuff I can think of. But anyway, moving on. Okay, I'm going to read this right quick because I want you to know what I'm talking about when I mention, whenever I mention love, see, this is what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to read the NIV version of it for the modern folk that don't, you know, can catch up. It said, love is patient. Okay? Love is kind while it's being patient. Okay? It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. That don't mean you won't get angry if it says it don't happen easy. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. and always persevere. Now, the driving force behind that is love, who is God. In us, he comes in the way of the Holy Spirit. You know, I saw a question today, what was the difference between God and the Holy Spirit? Authority-wise, nothing. Nothing at all. Most people probably think there's a difference because once inside of us, we can't do the things that God does. We can't fly. We can't walk on water. We can't lift a house. We can't move or stop a train. And that's because we would probably go out and do some dumb stuff. There ain't no question. You see what people do with what they have. All right? But again, this life is about us mastering that aspect of life. You see that if you think about this when you're reading through the Old Testament, you will see what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 22:37-39. He wrapped up the entire Bible in two verses. And he said to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor, and that's everybody on the planet, wherever you are, and they immediately become your neighbor as you love yourself. Would you do that to you? That's what that comes down to you know? And that's a challenge because you're going to get many opportunities to challenge that. But now understand, let's just for the sake of these new people, let's go and look at what happened. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12 and get it run in briefly and see what happened here. And we go into verse 7. Let me tell you right before that. Now, to understand, the book of Revelation has what they call laws. There's an application of a law, a double reference. And without training, without spending time in prayer, you will misinterpret it. And it's happened many times. And there's such – and do not get into battles over what you believe. You know, you can discuss. Just don't, you know, let it become crazy like I've seen people. Because it's like I said earlier, we only using 15% of our mind, and God is revealing more. There are things we understand now that we did not understand. I mean, some of the things I'm saying, you know, I get it. I get people, man, they make some faces and some of them, what they call them, some memes that they funny to me. But at the same time, I know this is why I always refer people to God in my book. It was the first time I ever saw it. Now, I don't think there's another book out there that has at the beginning of every chapter a simple prayer. Lord God, show me the revelation that is in this book and even show me that which isn't written in this book. God, then God gets involved and he can teach you from your environment because, you know, one of my favorite scriptures to understand in this life is Romans 1:20. It said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. I don't think Paul invented that by himself, because he didn't know our age was coming in. We have more to refer to help illustrate what this life is about than any man that has ever walked on the planet. This is why this is the amazing thing about the level of ignorance now with all the revelation that exists now. You know what I mean? It's really, really amazing. But anyway, verse 7 in Revelation chapter 12, and it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, which is a.k.a. the devil, and that dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. He got evicted. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, who deceiveth the whole world, who is cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All right. Now, other parts of the Bible, it tells you that he got kicked out with about a third of the angels. All right. Now, and really this chapter deals about the different aspects of the battle between Satan and the church and God altogether. But mainly, And the thing about it is, sin, this is why we have to know the Word of God. Because long as I am in line or and making an effort to be in line with the Word of God, I have access to the power of God, and therefore my life can be, I benefit from that. My heart goes out to the people of Uvalde. I haven't talked to any of them, but pretty much knowing the environment, the type of neighborhood it is, I wager to say that, I'll just say it like this. Everywhere going on in the United States and around the world, all the tragedies are the result of a lack of prayer. Now, and if it's not a lack of prayer, it's a lack of being in line with God to qualify to get an answer. Because one thing about angels is they will not deviate. See, they don't want the result that Satan is going to get. They don't want to go to the lake of fire. See, hell was originally made for just them. Okay? Now, and when this revelation, this rebellion occurred, and notice there's no repeat of that, when he got kicked out, they saw a different side. They're like, oh, okay. And I'm sure, I understand how Satan came about his ignorance, you know, and that happens. See, this is what I'm learning when I talk with the atheists, and they always refer to this knowledge that man has. And please, really, seriously, you go back and you, if you study math and its history, and if you live in that, if you go and study math, you can probably, I'm sure you'll find it online on Wikipedia. Mathematics is old news, really. We do more things with it. Why? Because God allow us to do more things. Okay? All right. So we read in Isaiah chapter 14. So we see that Satan is self-centered. All right? And let's look at another aspect of him in Matthew chapter 8, John chapter 8. This dude is crazy. He's psychotic. This is Jesus talking about it. And now, this is Jesus talking to some religious folk. Most of the time when you see Jesus talking negative in the Bible, he's talking to religious folk. You know, and that's really, really, interesting, because I'm reading a book, and there's something that's amazing. God answers. This is not, see, I asked God about the Pharisees and how they came about it, and then now I have a book that has that history in there along with some other things, and as I had suspected, I would call them denominational Jews that had decided, and that's one thing about denomination. You can always find that they will cancel out God and put their thoughts in his place. It is consistent. Because one of the things that's one of Satan's slickest tricks. Remember, you have to be conscious of him. And I notice people be conscious of him when they think they see him in another person. Now, you only need to be conscious of him when he's messing with you. You know, if he messes with the most you can do for another person is pray for them. You are required. Galatians 6:1 and other places, you are required to pray for them. Why would you not? Why would you not? When you owe somebody, that's what it says in Galatians 6:1. You see a brother taken in a fall, you which are spiritual, restore such a one, lest you also. Okay? Because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. I ain't made it this far without people praying for me, and I ain't going to make it to the end without people praying for me. All right. So Jesus is, now see, Jesus is the walking, living word, and he's bringing it to him, and he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, verse 38 in John chapter 8, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Woo, that's ugly. let me get through this. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born born of, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God was your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay, I'm out where we read 45. He said, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. See, so, again, as I said in the beginning, the impact of the necessity of the royal priesthood. They can't get out of that bondage. Now, at this time, the royal priesthood has been established and the old priesthood has been disbanded because at this time when Jesus shows up, Israel is in captivity and they've been scattered all over the world. They don't have no word. They got the temple and they got a whole lot of confusion and drama going on. They're in Roman captivity. They say confusing. When you're in an environment like that and your flesh is dominating, it's hard to stay close to God. It really is. I can imagine. That's why you don't want to get left behind after the rapture. Because a lot of people are not only going to get taken out by the violence of the Antichrist fulfilling their lusts. Because you can see that now. Here in Michigan, they have legal. I see so much marijuana, and the scientists are taking it to a new level. I saw an article where they're trying to find ways. They're trying to increase the active ingredient tetrahydrocannabinol, also known as THC, to the point that it will make people delusional. And the government isn't doing anything about it. You might have heard a reference of a queen that said, "Let them eat cake." Well, now it's like, "Let them smoke weed." That way they'll be so distracted that the government can do stuff that their folks won't even know what's happening. All right? But look at what Jesus is saying. Now, again, he's talking to, quote, religious folk. So because folk go to church, that don't mean they got a connection with God because they'll disconnect in favor of their own wisdom just like Satan does. See, you see that characteristic. That's why you don't want to deviate from the word. Because if you deviate, you can't. If you go from the word, you go to Satan. There is no neutral territory. There is that. I got my own mind. No, you don't. You're lying to yourself. You might think you do, but Satan is telling, correction, Jesus is telling them. Jesus is telling them they're hard. They don't even want to consider. They don't even want to stop. This is why I flip back on people. Did you ask God about it? Because that cuts off. And you know, the sad part is the consistency of no or no answer. I say yes. I say yes. Because I'm not coming out in public with something that I didn't consult with God about. I didn't just come up with it. I didn't have a reason to come up with commission, omnipotent, and condepressant. But, you know, the more I begin to understand what the word is saying, and this is the other thing, when you resist, when you decide you want to believe, God ain't going to wrestle with you. He ain't going to debate with you. He'll let you believe what you believe till you're ready to receive what he say. See, you know, some of the things, because right now it always comes back to the power of God. You know, I would hear people, every now and then I see these people talking about the prosperity gospel. Well, you know what is strange? Another no. When I say, wait a minute, have you ever ordered the whole 6-CD set? They say no. See, because when I ordered the set, the first part of the 6-CD set, they start telling you about what you need to get into place to be able to receive those blessings. You can't say anything you want to say. You can't live any old kind of way. You can't steal from God. You know, it's God is outlining his word. a prerequisite. God, he don't have no reason to compromise. This is, most people want a genie. They don't want God. They want somebody that's going to give them their desire. They see stuff that Satan had cooked up for people to have and shine it all up, and that's all they want. They think that's heavenly light. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. It ain't what this is about. This is why God held man at that low state for so long, so he wouldn't get caught up in her. Now, look at this addiction they got to this thing called money. Money is a spirit that got them caught up to the point that they will let people die of starvation for the sole possession of it. You're seeing that right now. That's another character. See, Satan's characteristics are there. He is self-centered, and he don't care. He's psychotic. That's why he can kill and think nothing of it. People are just, there's right now, this thing is, there's around people is the judgment of God, and they don't even, a lot of time they don't even see it. You know, I was looking at a video on, I've been watching Lake Mead in Las Vegas and how it has dried up. The lake then dropped down about 70%. 70% now. Some areas it dropped as low as 100 feet. Now, then today I looked in Utah, where they have all the Mormons, okay? And their lake is not only drying up, that if the dust start flying in the air, it because of the salt content, it would develop arsenic. So you got arsenic blowing in the air. Listen, God loved them, but see, they decided how they want to believe in God. And as a result, they have no power. And I know you, that is not God drying up the lakes. That is the devil. He is the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. This world was delivered unto him. Okay? I believe it was that Luke 4:6 and Luke, when he's talking with Jesus. He has control, but the override of that control is the power of God in a Christian. Now, it may take more. It's definitely going to take more than one, because I'm sure it's got to be at least one praying saint out there, maybe 100. But obviously, it takes more because their lake is drying up. It been dried up 75%. I don't care what it is. It comes back to the power of God. Case in point, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah, the prophet, announces that they were going to have a drought, and it will last for 3 years, okay? And somebody corrected me and said he did consult God about how long it would be. So God decided it was going to be 3 years. I thought it was too much. 6 months would have been enough, but I ain't God. I know y'all know that. Anyway, the point of the matter is this man stopped the rain. Now, I don't hang out there. I don't live out there. And they may be an Elijah level individual out there. That's a lot of power. There are prophets. The Bible says so. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some prophets. Okay, he gave some. God, he is God. Okay, so they might have, because there is a lot of rebellion to God out there. See, freedom of religion does not exist in the body of Christ. You might well get that out your head. God's kingdom is a theocracy. It is his way or no way at all. You don't get to vote on it. You either decide to receive it or not. I mean, it's just what it is. You know, just like people telling me, y'all, if we don't believe it, y'all just say we going to hell. Hey, were you volunteering? They told you that. We ain't like none of us. We all had to make the same decision. Man, don't think it ain't. I wouldn't want to be a different type of person if I could be that. But God say, this is what I want you to be. And I see the logic of it now. Because, you know, when we had the other president, I prayed for him just like I prayed for the president before him and the president before him. Once I learned that I wield the authority, if enough of us had prayed, see, when any of the politicians make bad decisions, it just comes back to a lack of prayer. See, we see that. Daniel chapter 4, you see Nebuchadnezzar on his knee declaring the Lord is God. And they didn't even have the Holy Ghost in them like we do. See? All right. So now, one of the things, so we recognize Satan is self-centered. Amen. As compared to, matter of fact, let's read what the opposite of that. Oh, yeah, we're in great time. Read about Jesus. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Familiar verse with most people. And I'm going to start with verse 1. Well, this is Apostle Paul addressing the Philippians, another group of Gentiles going through a cultural change. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. You know what? I want to switch. Give me a hold on. I want to switch this to the NIV. You know, just give me a moment here. I'm going to make this change. All right. Praise God for new technology. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross. And some of us can't even take getting cussed out, you know? And it's something. It's something. But see the difference in the mindset there. See, he came from heaven, was like the Most High back then now, okay? But instead, he humbled himself, and that's the one thing you will find consistent. And this is the whole thing. This is what we learn about this life, is we have to learn to humble ourselves. God is not going to do it. But listen, I know, dear hearts, you mean well when you ask God to take things from you. But let me read something to you. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, that word there is dunamis, from what they get the word dynamite. Bottom line is you have overcoming power. You are here to learn how to utilize that power, and your motive for the power is love, agape love. Well, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8. That's always the driving force. Why? Because God is love. He is all that, and he used that on us. Okay, for me to get saved, God got my mother and some other people to pray for me. Despite the fact that I was being rebellious, being my own way, God, in his love and compassion, okay, got them to pray, and then he answered. He was there at different times. You think back, if you got saved, you can remember those times when people tried to approach you. You can remember those thoughts coming in your head. And then one day you just couldn't take, just surrender. You wanted to see, and or whatever the reason was, you know. Like I say, November 16, 1976, I had one mindset, but God had another. I thought I was going to prove there was no God, and he proved to me that he's not only God, he is the God of love. And you couldn't have loved man. The love, what manner of love is this? All right. You're dealing with a person, Satan, all right? Now, your IQ is on skill and capability, okay, and comprehension. And Satan had full comprehension of the elements of the earth and the world. That's what allowed him to be mobile and travel and be invisible at the same time. A If you could think, make your brain work that fast, if you could get that much information, but it's set up in a way to prevent you from doing that, that's obvious that your intelligence level would be higher. Man is trying to increase his intelligence level. That's another reason why I know God is going to cut this thing short. Because he's like the Tower of Babel all over again. It's just coming up with some foolishness because he ain't going to do right with it. I mean, that's obvious. We got billionaires and homeless. Billionaires ain't a problem. Billionaires and homeless is the problem. That's what you see illustrated in Luke 16. God don't have, because in Luke 16, you got two rich men. The Bible said that Abraham was very rich. Very rich. He had his own army. Come on now. You know you can, that ain't slobbing. You know, when you got your own army, that's very rich. But Abraham, and you got to go back and read with Abraham, start in Genesis chapter 12, because you learn something, because he had to develop as we develop. He didn't instantly become the father of faith. It was a faith. It was a process. And God will let you go through the process, and it's very easy to tell when you are done with the process here on earth. You won't be here. That's simple. You won't be here. If you get up in the morning, you're still here, do it all over again. But again, as an incentive, you can set your desire on things you want, and being in alignment and in tune with God and hearing what he say and doing what he say do, how he say, when he say, he'll give you the desires of his heart. Psalm 37:4. I'm approaching another desire. And it everything works together, as it says, for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. See, what people want, they want that all to work together when they're called according to their purposes, and then they wonder why things don't quite go the way they plan. Well, you're missing the part. It's his purpose, not your purpose. All right. Now, and on the other end, Satan tried to trigger this mechanism of self-centeredness. And you have to be conscious of that. Like I said, I don't focus on a lot to be wrong with other people because that guy in the mirror gives me quite a bit to be concerned with, you know, quite a bit to be concerned with. All right, so we got in Isaiah 14, Satan, and you hit a mind concept. He deceived himself, and it's evident that that's true. People try to be, that ain't what that means. But listen, the evidence speaks for itself. He's still acting that way. Revelation chapter 12 is where he triggered the rebellion, and when he got kicked out, that's what created the effect that you read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. See, that's the amazing thing about the Bible. That part you know God has something to do with because he don't, God knows all things. He's omniscient. All right. We just cognition. We just know what he let us know to the level that he let us know. Now, one of the things you have to be conscious of, too, is, and I've seen people err in this way because they haven't been taught, and that's in Jude. Let's read Jude chapter 9. I want you to see something. Now, we're going to go a couple of places, Jude chapter 9 and then Job chapter 1. And this is sad when you ask people, have they read the whole New Testament? They haven't even read the book of Jude. There's only one chapter, but it's a lot in this chapter, okay? All right. This thing just speaking right to the heart. I tell you, my heart goes out to but I sit now, I pray just about the whole time I am on Facebook with them atheists, because I pray, I sit there and pray. And the prayer I pray is what I open up with today. Because when you're talking the spirit of wisdom, you're talking, you're asking God to bring their level of comprehension to the place that God want it to be. In the knowledge of Jesus Christ, there's the common, and God has to bring them. They have to participate by reading the word, so they'll understand how Christ is related to all this and everything in their life. See, It's a lot in that prayer. And if you, you know, you spend time asking God about it and sit down and listen, he will bring more to it. But here, something to be conscious of, and that is, despite Satan getting kicked out of heaven, you still have to respect his office. In other words, you know, I've seen people throughout the years call him Slewfoot and all these other names that, you know, the trick in behind that is something as simple as that, even though you would be right, okay, is that you are disrespecting his authority. He's still an angel, crazy as he is. And again, anything that a demon provokes you out of the will of God, which is the word of God, is to diminish your authority over them. That's what that's about. Every time. Now, look at this here right now. I'm not going to get into who, what the levels of this is. In the very same way, well, you know what? So you'll get an understanding. I think I should go back and read. Maybe I should read from verse 1. Well, I'm going to read from verse 3. It says, "Dear friends," this is from the NIV, "although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago secretly slipped in among you." Okay? "They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into license for immorality and denied Jesus Christ for our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. The angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day," which is coming, the white throne judgment. "In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion." Sound familiar? "They serve as an example to those who suffer the punishment of the internal fire. The very same way these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" And my point there is, again, like I say, Satan does do that. Demons do that so they can get a door open to attack you. And more so, you want to be conscious, you want to be open to hear God, you want to be directed by God, and so you have to be conscious of these things. You don't have freedom of speech outside of the confines of the Word of God. Let me say that again. You don't have freedom of speech outside of the confines of the Word of God. So don't let people who lack knowledge of the Word of God get you into conversations that'll open the door for the enemy attack, because he only needs a second. You know, I watched this video on YouTube called Idiots in Car Crash, and car crashes happen so quick. So many things happen to people so quick. Stray bullets, quick. See, you know, there's a lot of things that have bypassed you because of your obedience. And that's the whole point I want to get here, is to stay consistent with your desire to be obedient. I mean, it's if you stay in unison with the Holy Spirit, you will stay ahead of the devil. Okay? Now, one other space I want to check out. I want to look at it. Let's go to the book of Job. J-O-B is not Job. I know people think jobs are evil. But no, the Bible says if you don't work, you should. If you are able to work, you should. You know, when I went to automotive school years ago, we had a blind guy in the class that could build an automatic transmission by feel. Can you imagine it? He built an automatic transmission by feel. Now, there are a lot of parts in there to feel. Believe me, a lot of parts. So, but that's a determination. You know what I find a lot of times, the consistency with people that are allegedly handicapped, or not allegedly, they actually are handicapped, they exercise their faith. They don't give up. And that's what this life is about. That's what God wants us to understand, you know, that we have access to his power. Okay. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Okay, it says, on the day, now mind you, Satan is now kicked out of heaven, okay, he didn't create a drama on the earth, and here he is in heaven. It says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Now, what are you doing now? See, so, you know, he didn't got kicked out. He didn't lost control. I don't know in the Bible, I don't even know how they got to the place that Satan had control of hell in the first place. But then, you know, there's this thought teaching that hell is in the center of the earth. So he does have the earth, so maybe that's where they got it from. But the point here is God respects his office. And it's critical. In the book of Numbers, I believe chapter 22, there's a prophet that is the most crookedest prophet that I know of in the Bible. And, I mean, this dude tried to scam God, but God respected him. I'm watching God hold a conversation with this dude. Matter of fact, where we were just reading in the book of Jude, and they talk about the deed of the Nicolaitans, it goes back to what's his name? Balaam, the prophet, he could not curse Israel, the king. I can't remember the king's name, but anyway, the king knew that Israel was coming, which means he was going to get his butt kicked because he was occupying the land. So he tried to get a prophet of Israel to curse the children of Israel because he knew the prophet had power. He was going to buy it, you know, he was going to bribe him. But anyway, this guy trying to negotiate and run game, and he even tried to run the game on God. And I'm like, this is about crazy as all get out. Anyway, he couldn't get that done. So what he came up with this plan was, he told the king to get the men of Israel, the young men of Israel, hooked up with these, I can't think of the Moabite women, I believe. They were really fine, and they, you know, they, you know how men is around women. Anyway, their brain go off. Anyway, that's a classic example. He got them, the reason he got them connected, we're going to read that next week. The reason he got them connected with those women diminished their power. And that's what brought the defeat. See, and that's Satan's M.O. See, he will deceive you for one reason, to diminish your power. You see that? You look at Samson. Deception diminished his power. See, consistently. And that's the whole thing about it. And this is right now, you, it's critical to have your power in full, because there's too much craziness out there in the world. You want to be sensitive to God. You want to be able for him to direct you. And that's part of what, because, again, we're at the lower level of life. When we go to third G, man, we're going to be at the higher end. We're going to be at the higher end because we're at a higher level of power. There'll be less leeway for foolishness. So we need to learn this lesson now. See? All right. But here, like I said, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's a lot of things that go on with this. You know, it's a lot of discussion that and people have trouble with this. Why would God do that? Well, for our benefit, he spent Job's life. That's how I see it. He spent Job's life for our benefit, and it's a lot in there. You got to read the book of Job slowly, prayerfully, and God will show you a whole lot in there. Job was a prophet of his day. He knew how to operate with God. That's why how he became who he was. Okay? And he's an example that covers a lot of territory for a lot of Job's life could teach, shows an example for everybody's life from the bottom to the top, from the poorest to the richest. Okay, I mean he's an awesome guy. I really, really, really have strong admiration for him, which is why God knew this. Okay, he knew that God knew the end from the beginning. But the point that I want you to see here is that God has instilled in you. I talk about, you know, I seen, you know, my brother when he was playing the music, when the song came on, the rapper was saying, Mo. Like, oh, my God. When you want Mo from God, you're going to have a reason to use it. If you ask God for more faith, if you know how faith operates, where faith always takes you to a place where it requires patience and trust and confidence in a shaky, very shaky environment. It's going to tell you, if you want more strength, then you're going to have to be able to handle more pressure. But when you're going to have strength for nothing, God don't do anything for nothing. You want more love, you're going to see haters come your way to use it. I mean, why give you more love if you don't need it? What are you going to do with it? What you going to do with it? See, and this is what happened here, okay? Some people teach that Job's problem came from the fact that he spoke words of doubt, because he said if his children might have sinned before the Lord, you know? But the point is, you're going to be challenged. But right now, what I'm concerned about is not letting your power diminish. And saints, remember, particularly this for those of you that have children. Do not send your children to school without praying and command. Don't let them go out the house, wherever they go. Command angels to encamp around about them. I don't have time to teach all the details, but you have to do it every day. You can't do it for a year. You can't do it for a year. Don't work like that. Because why? This whole of life is about us learning to be submissive to God. That's why we had to do it every day. That's why we had to pray every day. That's why we can't pray today and it be done and that be the end of it. There's very few things when it involves people that you have to do it every day. And that challenges you. Why? Because you have to be mindful of God every day. You have to be mindful of your behavior every day. You'll find with people that have had these different types of behaviors that are negative, that the one consistent factor is that they're not mindful of God. They don't have daily conversations with God, because if you do, and you out of order any kind of way, God will demand you correct it. He'll let you know. You will know in your spirit, like he's pushing you back. And then when you ask, he will tell you what it is. It'll pop up in your head. He's like, really? Okay, let me correct that. You know? Anyway, you can't do any of this unless you're in the family of God. And it's a simple process to come into the family of God. All you have to do is say this prayer. It's so simple. It says, Lord God in heaven, I believe the story of your word. I believe that you are the creator of all of earth and heaven. And I believe that Jesus Christ is your son and you sent him to save mankind. And I accept your offer. I ask for forgiveness, Lord. And I accept your offer of forgiveness and redemption. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart, I am saved and I am forgiven. You know, that's the deep part. You know, I watch all the conversations that go on. And I watch all the conversations go on anyway with the atheists, and they don't realize it's a simple prayer. That took like 10 seconds to pray. 10 seconds, and it changes everything. Then they be in the position of eternal life. They want logic. I want God to prove. God is a God of faith, okay? He believes in faith. He say he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He ain't going to diligently seek you. So with that, Remember that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
As American culture is secularizing, we have an opportunity for this to become much easier for us. The church is being disestablished from the rest of the community. It's already happened in some parts of the country. It's happening now.
The world is crazy. It's all a sign of the times. They think we're crazy. They say we're out of our mind.
It's happening now everywhere.
There's something we're facing. I'm hoping you know.
You know.
And we can't escape it. It's everywhere. Every time, man, it, I look over show.
Oh, no.
Some people are searching, they hurting, they're looking for purpose, but not in religion.
Oh, no.
They say it don't work, in particular Christians are using the church as a business.
They say
they're tired of the silence, they're turning to violence. Some people just don't want to talk no more. The culture has shifted since Ferguson, Eric Garner in New York and in Baltimore.
Hey.
Look at Chicago with real music, youngins, they gunning and dying by the minute. Shout out to churches, the deep and the strict, being the witness and making the difference. Let's switch for a minute. Remember the case with Governor Pence in Indiana.
I know.
They challenge religious liberty, eventually putting our faith in the slum. The LGBT community collectively standing for discrimination over the sexual orientation. We can't afford to ignore what we face.
The world is crazy. It's all a sign of the times. They think we're crazy. They say we're out of our minds.
50. The world's going 50-150. Can I get a win? Keep in the drink.
50-150.
The world's going 50-150. Can I get a win? Keep in the drink. They're applying the pressure, but keep in perspective.
Okay.
That we do not wrestle with people, but demons are scheming to reject the mess. The kingdom of heaven progresses, so Satan's regime is extremely feels threat.
You know.
But for God and his wisdom to put us in this position, we should think it's a blessing.
We should.
We're tired of the statement that this is a Christian nation. Finally, that culture wall will fall.
Finally.
And the gospel will flourish, authentic conversions, all as a result of the culture war.
Finally.
That's why we connect with the people and help restrain evil through policy shifting.
We
Christians who get it and socially driven. All cause we know it's a holistic mission.
So
now let's switch for a minute. We gotta consider that this is a post-Christian nation.
We know.
Or a pre-Christian nation. The point is to say that the people don't know where we stay. So we can't just be positive. Gotta give gospel reasons we believe in the faith. The biblical way that our conscience is shaped. With the kindness that backs up our articulation.
The world is crazy, it's all a sign of the times. They think we crazy, they say we're out of our
minds.
51-50.
The world's going 51-50. Can I get a win? Deep in the drink.
51-50.
The world's going 51-50. Can I get a win? Deep in the drink.
We have the opportunity, as the culture secularizes around us and as the church becomes increasingly strange, to question ongoingly, how are we not reflecting the kingdom of God within our church structures? And then for our church structures to form the sorts of consciences that are able to speak to the outside about questions of the common good and public justice in a way that doesn't lead us inward and it doesn't lead us outward, but it leads us
forward.
That gives us the opportunity to maintain distinctiveness and engagement at the same time.